Jarka Haisigerova is an internationally recognized expert on uveitis, a rare, hard-to-diagnose and potentially blinding eye condition. The doctor, who spent a number of years studying and working in Scotland, switched her focus to the disease after previously specializing in the incredibly complex procedure of corneal transplantation. Our conversation took in those fields and eye care in general. But I first asked Dr. Haisigerova what had inspired her to become an ophthalmologist.
The very first thing which drew me to eyes might have been my own experience with blindness. Because when I was very young, 16, I actually lost vision in one eye. And for several months, I couldn't see at all with one eye. But suddenly, this vision came back. And since, I see very well. So when I started to study medicine, this might have been actually the very original idea why. And when in the fifth year we started to study ophthalmology, funny enough, it was the very first day when I've fallen in love with ophthalmology, and I never fallen out of love. Ophthalmology is a fantastic field which covers everything in medicine. It covers inflammation, covers surgery, it covers plastic things like skin procedures, it covers tumors, it covers everything simply. You find everything. Anything you like, you find in ophthalmology, and it's so delicate, and it's just fantastic field.
Before we move on, I have to ask you, what actually happened to you? How did you go blind? Do you know what happened?
There is a very specific disease. It's a disease of the yellow spot, which is the major part of the retina with which you see. And in young women, this actually sometimes happens and is a thing which is not explained why at all. But it occurs. It doesn't leave anything in your eye. But for a certain period of time, like for weeks or months, you simply lose your central vision and it comes back and nobody can explain.
We had a professor at university who claimed, I don't know if this is true, that Charles Darwin said that the eye could not have evolved, that it was so perfect. Whether it's true or not, the eye is an incredibly complex organ. Is it the most complex, would you say?
It might be, but actually our eye is not quite as well developed as some scientists say, because the light in our eye actually has to go through the retina to touch the sensitive parts and then goes back through the nerves and to the brain. Some people actually say that our brain evolved so well just because we needed some good PC or some good computer to process the very not as good signal which it gets. So our brain probably evolved just because of our not as geniusly designed eye.
Tell us, Jarka, you went for some years to Scotland. What brought you to Scotland and what did you do there?
I was sent there, actually, originally. I have started my PhD studies at the Charles University Ophthalmology Department. And I have been sent there for 1 year to have the international experience. And actually, I have been doing a very, very difficult procedure at that time, very difficult surgical procedure, which was a corneal transplantation in an experimental model. So the cornea was only 2 millimeters in diameter, and I was putting 12 stitches around it under the microscope. And that was a technique which at that time knew just very few people around the world. So I have been sent to the department in Scotland, in Aberdeen, to continue with the research there because they needed somebody who would be able to do this surgical technique. So I did PhD there for about a year, and I stayed slightly longer, and I met this professor there who led me in my PhD. It was Professor Forrester in University of Aberdeen, and he actually, from the corneal transplantation, showed me another fascinating field, and that was the field of uveitis. which is a very special intraocular inflammation, very damaging, but quite fascinating. And he is a expert, a world expert in uveitis. So I came back from my PhD to finish it here in Charles University. And 2 years later, I've been called back to Aberdeen to spend another 2 years of clinical and basic research in another field, in this uveitis field.
Getting back briefly to this kind of surgery, corneal transplantation, when you speak about the tiny scale, what kind of instruments are you using to do that?
We use the very special ophthalmic instruments for ophthalmic surgery. Incredibly tiny instruments have been developed. And for this corneal transplantation, the most tiny have been used, even the most tiny stitches, of course, the needles. And that was in microns, really, the thickness of the thread and of the needle.
But are you doing it yourself in a hands-on way? Or are you directing some machine?
No. It was my hands who did it. And under the operating microscope, it did not look so tiny. So under the microscope, when you finally got the coordination right, you could do that.
Your specialization now, as you were saying, is uveitis, which is an inflammation of the uvea, if I'm right, which is the layer between the retina and the outer layer of the eye. How common is uveitis and how does it manifest itself?
Luckily, it's very rare. It's mostly like in half of the patients, luckily in the iris. So it's called anterior uveitis or iritis or iridocyclitis. And this type of uveitis, it's very painful. It brings, luckily, the patient immediately to the doctor and it's very nicely cured with eye drops. So this is the sort of better type. Even the patient is suffering on the very beginning. The pain itself is actually an advantage because there is another half of the cases where it can be not painful at all and it can very gradually and insidiously actually lose the vision of the patient. These cases very often can be therefore sight-threatening and needs to be treated with systemic treatment. The difficulty in uveitis is that we never on the first sight or almost never on the first sight are sure if it's infectious, if it's virus, bacteria or mycosis which is causing it, or if it's autoimmune. If it's autoimmune, you have to use immunosuppressive treatment, so to suppress the immune system of the patient. However, if it's infectious, you need to use specialized antibiotics or virus statics. And these two treatments actually go against each other. So if you do not make correct diagnosis, you immunosuppress patient who's got virus in his body, and you actually suppress the last immunity he's got and he needs to fight the virus. It's quite serious thing to make a correct diagnosis. And as it is quite rare, there are not many doctors who are experienced enough with this disease. There are just a very few centers in the Republic who concentrate on this disease. As it is rare, the biggest center I can for sure say is in our hospital at the Charles University. We've got 5 doctors very specialized in uveitis, and I can vote for them that they will see the patient and they really very most time make the correct diagnosis.
If we could speak more generally about eye care, is there anything that people typically do wrong when it comes to looking after their eyes?
Taking care about the eyes is actually the same like taking care about the whole of the body. You should eat well enough, to have enough vitamins, to have enough other antioxidants and minerals. And all these are like little stones which build your good vision because they help the metabolism of the retina simply to work well enough. Next to the good food, there is also very important good lifestyle. You need to be active enough to have healthy eyes. To be honest, very not as recent, but quite just very few years ago, there was a large study which showed that actually 2 hours spent outside are a great prevention of myopia, which is short-sightedness, in children. Because this is a big problem in mostly in China, Singapore. Children are getting very myopic very early in their life, and nobody knew what's causing it. And it's probably it's not as closely linked to tablets and PDAs and mobile phones as it is thought, but more people spending time inside than outside
their homes. So we don't see long distances. That's
exactly,
it.
Exactly. The eye is actually trained just for middle and short sight. And the retina gets from what's mostly used, gets signal, yeah, we need this short sight, let's make it better. So the eye is very clever, the nature is very clever. We need this, let's get it to the eye. But it's actually damaging for the children, for everybody. So even for adults now, they should take care not to, well, I wouldn't say not to read too much, but to take care to look to the far, really outside, out of the window, and to swap between short and long distances.
Well, this leads to my next question, which is, I remember years ago, I don't know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when everyone started using computers all the time, we got this advice, take a break, look away for 5 minutes, leave your screen. But nobody says that anymore. Am I right?
You are right. And it's actually even more important now, as it became a lifestyle to look to your smartphone. If you look in the public transport, everybody's looking into their mobile phones or tablets, and people are therefore really changing their vision, and they are changing it for the future. It's like Darwin's theory. So people in general will need only short sight. Let's change it. The nature is very clever and will get it back to us if we want it.
I feel like I'm kind of abusing you with very general questions now. But one question I have about eyes, are cheap sunglasses dangerous?
This is a very good question, because there's many sales which are dangerous, because there are many sunglasses which are only dark, but they do not have the specific UV filters they should have. There always should be a UV sign, UV certificate on the sunglasses, so you shouldn't really... To be honest, you shouldn't really use the very cheap sunglasses, which you do not know where they come from and if they are really protective, if they are not only sort of browned.